Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
High noon, Jones and Keith. It's a Wednesday here on WEEI. And that means it's time for Pure Hoops with Terp, Justin Turpin, WEEI.com. What's up, Terp?
Pure Tank. Let's do it.
Oh, boy.
I'm only kidding.
You're not there yet. Although it does not look great.
It doesn't.
It's been a rough go. I mean, it's one thing you mentioned like early in the season, you get the Knicks or you're home against the Rockets. Like, okay. But that Jazz game and the way they lost it, getting smoked on the boards, they can't throw in the three at all. And the Jazz aren't good. And so that was frustrating.
Yeah, my biggest issue with the Jazz game is you even have Joe Mazzulla calling them out for their effort after the game. Like, that's unacceptable for this team. And you'd think that wouldn't be a problem with this team it's full of guys that are trying to prove themselves. In some cases, these guys are playing for what's next. You would think the one thing that you can expect night in and night out, and I get it's an 82-game season, and you know you're not going to have your all every night, but for this team, the one thing you would expect to be a consistent thing is their effort. Mm-hmm. And for Joe Mazzulla, who really steers away from calling out his players in any form publicly to the media, for him to go out and say that they got outplayed, I thought that was very telling. So you just can't have that. Like, obviously, there's deficiencies on this roster. That it has major flaws. The one thing you can control is your effort. And for them to not do that and drop a home game when they were 10-point favorites to the Utah Jazz, who were on the second night of a back-to-back, that's just not acceptable.
Who do you think he's calling out?
I think it was, honestly, the only one that I thought that played with effort was Jaylen Brown from start to finish. And it goes beyond his scoring. He did everything he possibly could have to give them a chance to win. Even late in the game, he dove for a loose ball and saved the possession there. Like, he was laying out. He gave it all he had. The rest of them, it just wasn't consistent. And that's been a problem for him. Like, we talked about it last week, too, where they had the 40-point quarter against the Sixers, the 40-point quarter against the Knicks. I mean, the biggest thing with defense, and obviously, like, the personnel is going to play into this. Like, they're not the greatest defensive team with their personnel. But you control that with your effort. And at times, we've seen that wane, and it just can't happen.
Okay. So you think Jalen's giving good effort, so everybody else is on the table. Who's the biggest offender in terms of lack of effort, at least in the game the other night?
I mean, it's hard not to look at Kata for that box out at the end of the game. I mean, you can't have that. Like, that's your biggest player on the floor. That's your center. You can't get out rebounded in that scenario there. And I thought in the first quarter he was great, but after that kind of slowed down a little bit. He's had his moments, and you know, I've been overall pretty impressed with him. I think he's answered the call with what he's been asked to do as the starting center, but in that situation, you cannot be out-rebounded. You have to come down with that board. And Joe kind of brought that up, too. Like, there's some that we just need to rebound. Obviously, rebounding is going to be an issue for this team. We've been talking about that since the first time we started having these hits again. Like, it's going to be a problem, right? Your top rebounders from a year ago are gone. Luke Kornet, Al Horford, Jason Tatum is arguably the best rebounder at his position, and Kristaps Porzingis. Like, those guys aren't there. Like, to steal the line for Rick Pitino, they're not walking through the door.
No,
and so
not.
You're going to have issues with your rebounding, but there are some that you have to have, and I think that was one of them.
What do you think is going on with Derek White? I think he is the biggest issue overall on the team, and it's just because I had high expectations for him, right? Like, some of the other guys you're not expecting as much, and you're thinking with all the scoring that has left the team, he was going to step up and he'd be an obvious guy to be the number two option offensively. And then, you know, he's a good defensive player. I thought he might even make a run at an all-star team. He's been incredibly disappointing.
Yeah, I think it's a mixture of two things. Like, both can be true. One, that he could be missing shots that he typically makes, and, you know, the tracking data wouldn't line up with that. But we've been talking about this for a while, that you look at the tracking data, it's more so just a point of reference where, like, how many of their shots are considered open. Like, you can't take that thing for what it's worth and look at it as, like, totals. Because the other night, the NBA had 50 of the 51 shots that they took were considered open to wide open. Watching the game, you know that was not the case, right? Like, there was a couple that were contested. So part of it is that he's missing shots that he usually makes. But other than that, too, I think it's just like he's adapting to a new role, and he struggled with that. And in the past, like, you've had guys that can space the floor, that can create open shots for him, that can screen for him. And it's a lot different now where he's creating a lot for himself. It's a lot off the dribble. It's not as much catch and shoot. And, you know, that's been a problem.
You know, real quick on White. So the season opener, he had 25 points. They lost that game, but he had 25 points, and you're like, all right, this is probably what he's going to be like. Like, they need people to score. After that, he went 15, 15, 11, 19, 15, 5, and 10. And just going to his playoff log from last year, it was way higher. And that was with Tatum for most of it, with Holiday, with Horford, with Porzingis, like all these guys that he was playing with. Yeah, and I just wonder if he's, you know, not cut out for being a number two or maybe even a number three. Like, I think he's a really useful player when he's like the fourth guy. Like, I don't know if he's even going to be able to, like, grow into that.
Yeah, I think that also, you know, there is some patience that's needed with that. Like, they've only played 8 games. And we talked about this, like, the schedule that they faced going into this. Like, three of the teams that they've played already had 50 wins last year. Mm-hmm. Four of them finished top six in the Eastern Conference or better last year.
One was the Jazz, though. Well,
no, exactly. Horrible. Exactly. And that was completely inexcusable. Like I said, like, the biggest thing with that is the effort, and that cannot happen. But I think there is kind of a learning curve, and they're going through that. But eventually you need to see the results turn. Like, we're nearing the 10-game mark, right? Like, and I think that's a healthy enough sample size where it's like, okay, by now you should start to figure things out. And you did have the preseason as well. Like, those guys got run together. So it is still a work in progress, but, like, that's only an excuse for so much longer, right? At times, like, at some point, it has to change.
Terp with us here, Pure Hoops with Terp, every Wednesday at High Noon. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin M. Terp. And if you got Twitter questions, rather, dial us up, 617-779-7937. Or you can ask some questions on Twitter as well, at Jones and Keith. You said yesterday when we were talking about this off the air, Terp, they actually took a lot of open shots. 50 out of 51 threes, I think, were considered
open. That was the
open.
NBA tracking. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, which.
Which, so, again, this is kind of a point of reference.
I'm not going to debate they're open. Fine, they're open threes. Are they taking good shots?
I think so. I think there have been some that, you know, haven't been great looks, but that's going to happen when you're taking 51 of them, right? Like, just the sheer volume of it, you're going to have some that aren't necessarily good looks. But for the most part, I think they have been decent looks. And the reality is, it's like, that's probably their best chance of scoring, right? When you look at guys like Anthony Simon, Sam Hauser, Peyton Pritchard, and Derek White, like, those guys are great three-point shooters. Even Jaylen Brown, before he went 0-for-9 the other night, was shooting a career high. I think he was making, like, 50% of his three-point shots. So it is part of their offense, obviously, and Joe Mazzulla's, you know, been very clear about that from day one, that it's, you know, it's creating the two-on-ones, creating the open shots, and if the open shot's there, you need to take it. And for the Celtics, oftentimes, that comes from beyond the arc. So I think I don't necessarily have a problem with the shot diet and the shots that they're taking. I think most of them have been good. But, of course, when you're taking 51, like, or, you know, 50 of them aren't going to be open or wide open like the NBA tracking data stated. Like, again, that's a point of reference. So you look at that and be like, okay, majority of them are good looks. But, you know, of course, there are some that, you know, aren't as great.
Yeah, because I just, you know, obviously there's, like, a pushback for, like, oh, how many threes they take, and, like, that's been done to death, and there's going to be a million threes. That's sort of their style. But it made more sense the last few years to me because you had the personnel for it. You were winning, right? So it was easier to be like, well, yeah, we're shooting a million threes. We lose the occasional game, but it's working for us. But now, like, they have lineups where, you know, Kate is not shooting threes. So if when he's out there, now you have, now at best, you have four guys that are shooting threes. You do have guys like White and Pritchard who right now can't throw it in, and hopefully, you know, that'll change around. But I wonder if it seems like Mazzulla is kind of coaching it the same regardless of the roster, even though the roster is not nearly as good as it was.
I think it's different. I think people are looking at the three-point volume because it's always been the number one pointer.
Yeah. Well, like, it leaves the league again.
Right, because again, they're
shooting second worst percentage.
They shoot the second worst percentage. They are attempting the most threes, which threes are a part of the modern NBA.
Obviously.
But you don't have to lead the league and, you know, set records like they did. They don't have to be that skewed that way.
I thought they would be lower this year, and it was because Jaylen Brown's going to be your leading scorer, and I think the best Jaylen Brown games, he takes way more twos than threes. And I'm like, all right, when Tatum's scoring close to 30 points a game, if he ends up taking 8 to 10 threes, I get it. It's like part of his game, part of the flow, also sets up guys more. I thought maybe they wouldn't. So I'm a little bit and then you throw in Kata compared to Porzingis or Horford. Like, right. I thought we might go away from it a little bit, but they really have not. Yeah,
especially
at all.
Without a true, like you said, a true stretch five.
Right.
Like, you
right.
don't have Al Horford in the corner anymore. You don't have Kristaps Porzingis. Luke Kornet wasn't obviously a three-point shooter. Well, he was before he got to the Celtics.
Oddly enough.
He ditched that when he got here. Strange. Yeah. But with him, though, his screening. Like, he's one of the best screeners in the game. And I think screening is something that's very overlooked in the NBA. Like, it's almost like an offensive line, right? Like, when the offensive line's going great and things are going well, you're not talking about it. And same thing with the screening. And you're starting to see that now because I think the screening has factored into some of the shots they've taken. Like, it's just not as good as it has been in the past. So I think that plays into it. But the reality is like, the roster just has flaws. And on some nights, they're going to be able to make up for it with their shooting. And others, they're not. But, like, when you're shooting 20% from three or whatever it is, it's going to be tough to overcome that.
And some of the roster flaws aren't their fault, Tatum getting hurt. But a lot of them are. Like, a lot of that was a conscious decision by the new ownership group, which I think should frustrate Celtics fans. Why was he so frustrated the other night? Was it just about that call, or is there a bigger level of frustration going on with him?
It was about the call, and rightfully so. Like, they missed that call. Now, granted, and I always like to remind this, like, when you're talking about a call at the end of the game, there are so many things that went wrong that led to that. Like, you can never point to just the final game. They are 10-point favorites. Like, that, you can't just blame the call. But that is a big call in a big spot, and it did end up costing them the game in some sense. So I get his frustration, and he ended up proving right. Like, I don't know why the NBA does this, but they still do the last 2-minute report.
I don't know if it
helps
them.
Like, they admit that they missed the call, but, like, great. What does it do? Like, you
so at the very
call.
Least,
everyone saw
it's some accountability. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that.
At the very least, they should. I don't know if Jaylen Brown's been fined yet.
Not yet.
But he should get his fine taken away. If they're like, he was complaining about a call that was proven to be wrong, then in that case, they should take it away.
Accountability's great, but the referees don't get fined. They don't get suspended.
No, they'll be
like,
back
nothing
out
actually
there.
Happens. Like, oh, okay, we missed it. Like, sure. Like, I guess
no other league even does that.
No, I mean, yeah, I guess it is nice to have that affirmation, but, like, everyone saw it in the moment. Like, he was totally tripped. And, you know, he was frustrated.
See, I didn't
by
really
that.
See it.
The last two-minute report said they got it wrong, but I'm with you. I didn't.
Because he got in the way, but
bad.
I thought he was slipping ahead of time. But whatever. Like, they even had the lead after that. You know, like, it wasn't like that was, like, the last play of the game.
Utah also missed the shot and grabbed an offensive rebound and put it back.
Right.
Like, you know, everyone's going to get tied up with the call. Again, there's so much more that went into that.
You don't think there's more going on with it? Like, Jaylen felt he was disrespected, like, he didn't get a superstar call. Or even, you said, you think he was the only one giving effort, nobody else was. Like, you don't think that level of frustration was about anything else?
I think he was frustrated with the loss. Like, I think everyone was frustrated with the loss. And Jaylen did mention in the question after, he's like, we cannot have teams on the second night of a back-to-back coming in and just doing whatever they want and beating us on our home floor like that. And it was a frustrating loss. So, yeah, I think there was more to it, but I think most of it stemmed from the call rather than, like, you know, something, an issue with the teammates or whatever. You know what I mean?
Where are you at on the the big man rotation? You know, I think last time we talked to you, Kata and Minot were, like, trending up a little bit more so. We see Garza in there a little bit. Tillman's still getting a little bit of run. Who do you think is kind of emerging from that group?
For the most part, Kata's been good.
Yeah.
He's been solid. He's impressed me a little bit. Obviously, like, you know, he's had his moments in the past, even when he was the third center on this team, or even the fourth center. Yeah. Like, he had his moments, and he won them games. But I think he's done a great job so far. Obviously, like, there has been moments it's like, okay, like, you can't have that, like the offensive rebound late in the game the other day. Like, you can't have that kind of stuff. But all in all, he's been good. Josh Minot's another one where, you know, he's
a lawnmower.
He's been in the starting lineup for good reason because he brings that energy and that edge that they need to play with. I think he does a good job of setting the tone. Like, him and Jaylen both play with that edge, play with that like that fire, that competitive spirit. Like, that's what they need. You know, they need to punch above their weight class in most nights, and that's how you do it.
You mentioned numerous times in the offseason, like, wait till after the first 7 games, bet the Celtics over, then they lose game number 8 against the Jazz. Should they tank right now, Terp? Yes or no?
I'm going to take a similar approach to Keith with the Bruins here. And I would say give it a little bit longer because the schedule does open. They played eight games.
Okay.
Right? And there's eight new faces.
But fine. So your answer right now is
I would say table it for now. Yes. You played eight games.
Don't tank yet. At what point do we look at it if they're still struggling and you say it might be time to really consider
I think
that?
Probably right around like the Christmas mark. I think that's where you can look at. Because if you look at their schedule coming up, there's a lot of winnable games and games that they should
including tonight,
be able to
Washington
have,
tonight. They stink.
Orlando struggled. Yep, they go back-to-back with
Orlando's been bad.
They've been bad.
I watched a good chunk of that Hawks game last night, Bragg. They look bad.
Was that the game? Oh, yeah, Bane got tossed, right?
Yes. Chucked the ball at somebody.
That was bad. If you could just like go through their schedule, like they already beat Philadelphia once. It went down to the wire the first game. They get Memphis, and they're a mess.
Dude, what's going to happen with John Morant?
I mean, it's getting to a point where you have to trade him.
They have to, but like, he's still a really good player, but now you see a lot of guys calling him out left and right. So like Perk did, but Perk did it in the way that he got everybody pissed off. But like Blake Griffin was like straight up calling him out. That seems like a mess.
They
can't keep him there. But he's super talented. So I wonder what you would get and like what kind of team would bring him in with the money that he's making.
Oh, some team will bring him in. Yeah. Like, he's an all-NBA player
he's great,
when he's healthy.
But
like some team will go out.
But like if it doesn't work, you'd be like, well, are there any signs? Were there any signs it wasn't going to work with him? Like, oh,
it feels like it's pretty apparent that his future is not in Memphis.
Yeah.
Like, he is going to be dealt out at some point.
Maybe send him to Philly for like a beat or something. Like,
would they want to mix that up with their front
scenery?
Court or with their backcourt?
No, that's true.
Like,
those guys are playing well.
Maxie, like Maxie's playing at like, MVP level right now.
And
obviously, it's only been eight games, but he's been phenomenal.
Do you speaking of the way teams are starting? Oklahoma City's 8-0. They beat who'd they beat last night? The Clippers. I'm sorry. So they're 8-0.
Yeah, that was the 11 o'clock game.
Oh, that was last night. You were talking about this yesterday. Oh, I thought that was coming up later this week.
I think it was last night. They started at like 11:10 Eastern time.
Okay, so OKC is the only undefeated team. They're 8-0.
Without Jalen Williams.
Good point. So last year, Missoula's like, well, what? You expect we were going to be better than we were the year before? And we're like,
we did
actually expect that. We thought you would defend your title and we thought you'd win more regular season games and you didn't. So, yeah, that's what we expected. Is Oklahoma City, are they going to make last year's Celtics look even worse? Like the way they're starting, the way they're playing, the way that they're ready to go, the pace they're on, maybe they defend their title. Are they going to make the Celtics look even worse for not playing well in the regular season and repeating?
I mean, right now they're on pace to go 82-0. So they look strong right now. But I mean, again, it's so early in the season. It's tough to kind of look at that right now. I mean, definitely they could. I mean, what they've done is incredible. This is their first 8-0 start in franchise history, I believe.
Well, they would have to, they would have to obviously win the title.
They'd
away because I think if they win the if they fall short, even if they have an awesome regular season, because like the Warriors, one of their years that they.
Let's just start with the regular season, though. Even if they win more games than they won a year ago, they won 68 last year.
Yeah. They win 70 games.
I don't take back expecting the Celtics to win more regular season games last year than they did 2 years ago.
They won three fewer. Yeah.
I think Oklahoma City could do that. But there has been this like ongoing conversation about teams not repeating, and now it's become like a thing in the NBA. We're like, well, now it used to be like common to repeat. Now it's super tough to repeat, right? Like nobody's repeating. I feel like there's a lot of ways to excuse it away, or not excuse it away, but explain it with like certain teams and why they didn't. So if Oklahoma City does, then that would make the Celtics look worse because you're like, well, the Celtics were primed. They were lined up for it. This wasn't a bubble season. This wasn't Kawhi Leonard there. This wasn't like a few different things. And if Oklahoma City wins it back-to-back right after you did, then, yeah, that's pretty telling.
I'm looking at the Celtics started 7-1, then they lost their ninth game, 7-2. They were 9-3. They started 16-3. So they started better than I remembered, I guess.
They also haven't necessarily had a murderer's row here to start Oklahoma City. They got, the Hawks, the Mavericks, the Kings, the Wizards, the Pelicans. Like, not necessarily great.
Yeah.
The first two games of the season with the Rockets and the Pacers. Back-to-back double overtime games. So I think that was
Rockets, and we saw what the Rockets did to this team.
But I'm just saying, like, you saw back-to-back double overtime games to begin the year. Like, we heard all last year about, even the Celtics talking about it, every night you're getting a team's best, and they're, punching above their weight in a lot of cases.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I know he's not the most fun player to watch, but he's playing like the MVP again.
He's led them scoring in, like, seven of their eight games.
Yeah, he's insane.
It's incredible.
Okay. Pure Hoops every Wednesday at high noon with Terp. Check him out at Justin M. Turpin on Twitter. Follow all his work at WEEI. Terp, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Terp.
617-779-7937. I see you guys hanging out on the phones. Red Sox conversation, Patriots conversation. We'll get back to the Pats, what they did not do. at yesterday's trade deadline. Plus, we also have an all-time rant, perhaps.
Ooh,
an all-time rant.
I'll be the judge.
Let's throw his hat into the ring for Bill O'Brien later on this hour.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating canvas sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Hogman was hot.
Hogman pissed. Not just the baseball guy.
No, fired up.
Hog does the call of some of the Pats games.
Yeah, we'll expect a little extra edge to that one.
Yeah, a little on snarl. Sunday against
snarl to Hog.
The Bucks. Yeah, no, for sure. Anyways, I think his anger is a little misplaced. I don't think Elliot Wolf is where I would channel that anger, but I like the anger.
Yeah, yeah, keep that anger.
Hold on to that tight and don't let it go.
Maybe don't blame a guy that has nothing to do with anything.
Okay, but speaking of Hogs, Keith.
Woo!
Miss Piggy.
Yeah, we talked about Miss Piggy.
How did this come up?
They're making a Miss Piggy movie as part of the Dork Minute.
That's where
she's going to get her own movie finally.
And I said she's got to be on the short list, perhaps the Rushmore.
Oh, Mount Rushmore or Top 5 Friday.
Or Top 5 Friday.
Horny characters?
All-time horniest. Yeah. I would hold my nose and give it to him, yeah.
you could speak to that. But we might have a late entry.
Well, hang on.
Yeah.
Friend of the show, I don't even think I told you this. Friend of the show, Megan Ottolini.
Yes.
Texted in, Pepe Le Pew is hornier.
Oh, Pepe Le Pew has been
hornier,
shut
like,
down.
To being canceled.
Pepe Le Pew may be the most
problematic.
Great one.
Real bad guy.
Chappelle had a good bit about Pepe Le Pew.
Pepe Le Pew was so bad they cut him out of the bad Space Jam movie. They couldn't even put him in the LeBron Space Jam.
Oh, he wasn't brought
he
back
was
for that?
Too horned up. Yeah, they were like,
yeah, they didn't bring him back.
No, I think they made a reference like, dude, you can't be around people.
Yeah.
Like, you're too much. That one lady, you got to leave her alone.
Yeah.
That other lady skunk, like, leave her alone. We've had to call a lot of people. So yeah, Pepe Le Pew.
She's uncomfortable.
It might be like the Pepe Le Pew sponsored list.
Okay.
Like brought to you by Pepe Le Pew,
Pepe
the
Le
top
Pew.
Five horny characters. We
Miss
have
Piggy.
Another one.
Yeah, who's that?
That would be the legendary Bob Ryan from the Boston Globe.
Oh, no.
Well, just hear me out.
What, he vetoed Stellino this thing?
Not quite. Didn't go full veto Stellino.
You know, J.C. Horney.
So there's...
Ooh, J.C. Horney is a good one, yeah.
So Twitter can be a wild place, right?
Sure.
It is a jungle.
Yeah.
And so there are all kinds of, like, fake AI bots. There's all kinds of, like, porn sites and all kinds of whatever else.
Yeah, it has its pluses and its minuses, yeah.
So Miss Helen Amy...
Miss Helen Amy. Okay.
Tweeted out a picture of, we'll say her, but it's probably AI generated.
She's, by the way, a member of At the Classy Honeys.
What's that?
Member of At the Classy Honeys. I'll check that out for you, Keith, if you don't mind. I'll do that on a, wow.
It so is. It's a photo. There's no
At Classy Honeys is something.
Term has
there you go. Term's got it.
Term has on Twitch. So it's a woman. Again, this is probably AI generated, but just for the sake of this, I'll paint the picture. It's a woman sitting on a couch, a gray couch. Yeah. She's wearing a white button-up shirt. It's not all the way buttoned.
No.
She's got some white streaks in her hair, so she's like an older lass. She's like a gilf.
She's kind of got like a skunk thing going on. No offense.
A little Pepe Le Pew to her
she
game.
She kind of does, yeah.
She's what are those that you would call those? Like stockings?
Yeah, like a fishnet. Like a fishnet.
All right, Terp.
Sort of thing going on. Yeah, Terp. So, I got, yeah, zoom in on the Bob Ryan tweet.
So anyway,
you're
so,
not the
so
area
she,
we're zooming in on.
She tweets out, am I too old for you? Question mark. And then on the meme no. with the picture.
Good call, Alex.
I'm with Alex.
Yeah.
So then there's a photo there of her. And then on the picture it says, men rejected me because I'm too old. Please say hi if you think I'm good looking.
Okay.
To which Hall of Famer Bob Ryan responded, hi there! Exclamation point.
The birds are horny.
That's all right. That's what, I mean, listen, it's a call and response. She was asking for a little bit of response, and she got it.
Oh, she got it.
From the legendary Bob Ryan. He said, hi there!
So
his previous tweet, Jones.
Yeah, no.
You're
this,
like, all right, what kind of Twitter
this
activity?
I liked. I'm like, well, what else is this man doing
so,
when he's getting in the mentions? What else is he doing?
So somebody, like minutes before he responded to Miss Helen Amy.
Yeah, who is, again, a part of the Classy Honeys, yeah, which.
A Twitter account called.
I would say they may not be classy, but yeah, keep going.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Well, then, not that.
Perhaps an ironic nickname.
Yeah.
The tweet prior to this that he responded to was from Thrilla the Gorilla.
Oh, boy.
Who had a picture of a sandwich.
Cheeseburger club.
And it says, have you ever heard of anyone putting potato chips on a sandwich? And Bob Ryan, through all his years, wrote, negative.
You've never heard of that?
You've never heard of chips on a sandwich?
I thought that was a common thing.
Same.
I don't personally
I don't
do
really
that.
Do it anymore. Like when I was a kid, sometimes maybe you'd throw some chips on there.
I don't want
for the crunch.
I don't want my sandwich to crunch.
I'll do chips on the side. I'll eat a whole bag of chips on the side.
I'll
brag.
Eat the chips in addition to the sandwich.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't personally
he's never
put
even
them
heard
in there,
of it.
But I've heard of it.
So he's like, let me tweet out a food take, and let me respond to this old lady here, see what she's up to.
I like the one he replied to afterwards. It was about Stan Musial hitting 475 home runs in his career, and also that he never K'd 50 times in a season.
Yeah.
And Bob Ryan says, it was a very different baseball world.
That's true.
So, honestly, this is like...
Sandwiches, good-looking older lady, Stan the Man Musial.
Is this him or Shaughnessy? Who used to write, like, the picked-up pieces? This is like a picked-up piece from Bob Ryan is what this is. His Twitter mentions are picked-up pieces. Sandwich takes, horny old ladies, and Stan the Man Musial all right there in his Twitter mentions.
Yeah.
But Bob Ryan might be on the Mount Rushmore, apparently. I was unaware of that, but he might be.
Yep. He also responded to a lady who wrote, has anyone ever stayed at a job for more than 5 years? He wrote, how about 44? It's a little brag, too, there.
That is kind of a
mixed
brag.
In.
Sick brag, bro.
That was to a lady? That might have been a horny answer. That might have been Twitter flirting, actually.
It might have been.
Yeah.
Elma.
She sounds hot.
Her Twitter bio says, asking questions,
Elma?
Sharing thoughts, and riding this wild journey called life.
Yep.
Let's explore, reflect, and connect.
Is there a link tree link in there?
No, actually, surprisingly not. He does a lot of responding on Twitter, which I guess, you know what? That's what it's there for. But I wonder how Miss Helen Amy even popped up on the old timeline. I have a pretty good idea,
I think I have an idea.
Nothing wrong with that. No, so Vito Stellino.
Well, there's another gentleman we used to work with who had. He
Vito
followed,
Stellino?
No,
I know.
No, there's another gentleman we used to work with who had.
We worked with him way back.
Some alarming follows.
We worked with him way back.
Quite graphic. Yeah.
Well, are you seeing what I'm doing? You missed the first two times.
I wasn't. I get it.
Somebody we worked with way back.
Way back.
No, but Vito Stellino is a guy that's like, he's covered the NFL since I think the first day on the job. Like, uh-huh. not his first day, the NFL's first day. He's been covering the league that long. He was a Jaguars writer. You and I had both talked to him before, like when the Pats played the Jaguars.
Yep. Yeah. He's good get.
And so all he does is tweet about, you know, like Byron Leftwich or whatever. And then he had one, it was like a link straight up to a pornographic film. And I was like, what in the world?
It wasn't the most creatively named now that I think back.
No, it wasn't. It was pretty much what it was. It was straight up what was happening in the film. Very on the nose name.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's always tough. It's a risky run on the internet.
We did work with that man way back. Yes. No, I
well, did, but the best was he's like, great story about the AAFL or the AFL or whatever. And then the link was to like something very different.
We're talking about Vito.
Vito Stellino.
Yeah.
No, Bob's very innocent enough. Just hi there. She's like, hey, if you think I'm good looking, say hi. He goes, hello. I do.
He's, again,
I do.
He just, you know, I think he was.
He's got good taste.
Looking out for her is what I'd imagine is what was going on. 617-779-7937. So we'll work on that Mount Rushmore, that top five Friday. We'll fine tune it, but some good
Pepe Le Pew, Miss Piggy are two good ones.
Yeah.
A buddy texts me, James Bond and Austin Powers, who's sort of a riff off of him.
Yeah, both. Austin Powers. Yeah, that works.
And like the entire cast of American Pie. So that's the short list that we're working
anybody
with.
Anybody
right
looking
now
at Jessica Rabbit.
Yeah. Oh, Eddie Valiant.
Oh, yeah.
Eddie Valiant was in that moment.
Sure.
Nah, I'm not going to blame him. Jessica Rabbit.
All right, good entry.
She wasn't actually a rabbit. That was the last name of her husband, Roger.
Right.
So people are like, oh, yeah, you're like a rabbit. No, she was a woman. She wasn't a rabbit, Jones. That was her last name.
Yeah.
Because of her husband, Roger.
I follow.
Okay.
All right.
Just checking. She was a singer-songwriter.
She's quite a performer. She's more performer than singer, I'd say.
Performer.
Yeah, performer.
Yeah.
So I would put that. Yeah. Good performance.
But she was with Roger because of his personality. He could make her laugh, and that's what did it.
It's a funny guy.
Yeah. Because all the men in that town in Toonville were
humorless.
After her.
Yeah, no, they're humorless compared to him.
Agreed.
It's true. 617-779-7937. Let's mix in a call here, shall we?
Yeah.
Sam in Boston wants to talk Celtics after Pure Hoops with Terp. Hello, Sam.
Hey, long time old. I enjoy you guys, man. You guys stick to sports. I like your humor. Anyways, I think that coach, you know, one of the things with Isaiah, when Isaiah, he could have shoot, but his height always, guys take advantage of his height. The coaches always do that. And that's what I think with Pritchard. As much as Pritchard could shoot, guess what? A lot of times he can't get a rebound, you know, and that's what that guy that we let go, I think he was a good defender.
Drew Holiday?
Yeah.
Drew Holiday.
Yeah. Holloway. Yeah. That's what
Shaheen makes, Holloway.
What's his life? That's why they can't shoot. Because he's not, White is not as open as he's open now. He'd be a double team. But anyways.
I think that's an issue. I do think that's issue. Like, without Tatum drawing the attention of the defense, I do think they might still be quote-unquote open shots. I disagree with Terp on this. I don't think they're good shots. And I don't think just because you have an open shot 5 seconds into the shot clock. This shot from Hauser stands out to me the other night. Early on in the shot clock, he's barely across half court, and he's been shooting well this year. Deep out on the left wing, bombs away on a three. And it's like, that's not a good shot. You don't need to do it.
Yeah.
And I think they proved as the game went along that when they were going to the basket, specifically when Jaylen was going to the basket, he could get there whenever he wanted to. He went to the basket when they were down 7, drew a foul, 2 free throws, made them both.
Mm-hmm.
He then hit back-to-back layups going to the hoop. Like, just because it's open doesn't mean you have to shoot it. In fact, if it steps behind the three-point line.
But that's not Missoula's philosophy.
Or if it's in transition, then you don't have to shoot that. Just because you're open does not make it a good shot. And I don't think they're getting as many quality looks as they were a year ago, because I don't think the ball moves the same way, because I don't think the defenses are cheating off guys like they used to, because you don't have to worry about Tatum.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about Porzingis. You don't have to worry about Holiday hitting open shots. Like, there's a big difference from a year ago, and they're playing the same way, which is stupid.
Yeah, and I feel like two guys that are shooting poorly right now are probably the most affected by not having Tatum on the floor, and even other guys like Porzingis and Horford, but Derek White and Peyton Pritchard are two guys, like, for their careers, shoot a lot better. So that's where you're like, all right, maybe you can bank on that turning around, but at least through eight games, they've both shot really poorly.
It's true. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here. You'll hear Mike Vrabel live at 1 o'clock. Get his thoughts on the Patriots doing nothing at the trade deadline. Which
Quagmire from Family Guy.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's an all-timer.
That's another.
That's his whole gimmick.
Perhaps problematic one, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that too.
The Zohan?
Yeah, you don't mess with the Zohan, Adam Sandler.
Was he that? I've seen that film.
He's a hairdresser, right?
You know, I remember that, but he was that.
I think he made love a lot, I believe.
He's on the list of horniest.
Blanche, Golden Girls.
Blanche. Great one. Oh, yeah. You're a Dorothy in the streets and a Blanche in the sheets. It's like the best shirt ever.
Oh, what a horn dog. She really was.
Blanche is a great one.
Good call, Billy. Good call. We'll get to your feedback coming up. We'll get to Mike Vrabel coming up live from Foxborough again on the Patriots failed, I think, trade deadline. But on the way next, Keith.
Yeah.
I think this is a good debate. This rant from Bill O'Brien yesterday.
Pretty good.
How would we grade his rant, and where does it fit in among the greatest coaching rants of all time? Let's get to that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click. All complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
How's Bill O'Brien yesterday?
Yeah, I get a little hot.
The losing is not getting him down.
I'm afraid you get a stormy crown.
He is getting, the teapot was bubbling over yesterday.
The teapot was. The team is off to a bad start and middle and soon to be finished, mercifully finished. They're 1-8. They beat a non-1A school week one.
Yep.
And then they've lost 8 consecutive games. Now, they've mixed in a couple of covers.
They covered against Notre Dame.
Against Notre Dame.
I couldn't plunk down. You can't do that in this state. Maybe Sportsbook Rhode Island.
Sportsbook Rhode Island, you absolutely can.
But
they'll take your money.
I could not plunk down on that game. But okay, he's a little hot under the collar.
What's up, Trevor?
I do like that.
That makes it. To me, that makes it. It's like a solid rant. Like, he's hot about it. I also find it comical because, like, the question and the answer are about BC fans.
Yeah.
Like, who's a BC fan?
Right. Good. Well, there's two of them on the morning show.
They went there.
But short of that,
did
yeah.
anybody that didn't go to BC like BC?
Oh.
Not only is the answer no, those people also hate BC. So most people listening hate BC.
That's a good
BC.
Point. Are there any BC fans that didn't attend BC? Yeah, probably not.
No. They all went to BC, which I understand there are people that went to BC.
Yeah.
But like UMass is different. Like when UMass basketball was good, like everybody liked UMass basketball. Now that was a long time ago. That was Marcus Camby. But like you didn't have to go to UMass to like UMass basketball.
Mm.
Like you literally have to go to BC to like BC. I've never met a single person who's like, go Eagles. You're like, oh, right. What year did you graduate?
Yeah. What, were you Baldwin when you were there? Yeah.
Oh, Brian even said that to the guys. Yeah. Like, I don't know what year you graduated. Guy, obviously, if you have interest in this, you must have graduated from
I
here.
I think his name is Mike Galtieri.
Yeah.
Who went to BC and does some play-by-play, and he's like, you only show up here like once a month and you rip us and blah, blah, blah.
We're not down. The sun is up, and we're fighting.
Sup, Trevor. So that was the next question, but that was how he went
Trevor's
to the
like,
next
who's
question.
Who's the quarterback this week?
What's up, Trevor?
Yeah, how you feeling, coach? Yeah, it's gone poorly there. They're not doing not doing very well. But he had some interesting quotes the previous weeks that we sort of highlighted in like Grab Bag.
On Greg's show.
No, he doesn't do Greg Show anymore.
Oh,
no,
got it.
No.
Yeah, that was going to help them win, I thought.
He used to be on Greg's show.
Yeah.
He's not, and I don't believe it was his decision. Doesn't sound like it was his decision. Because, like, why not hop on there, do the show? But anyway, he has been on. It has not turned them around necessarily.
Nope.
But he had one line about, you know, if I knew how to fix it, like I would kind of thing. Like, I don't really know how to fix this. And you're like, okay. And then it was also... I think after they lost to Louisville, it's like, hey, if this is the worst thing that ever happens to these guys, like, they're doing all right.
Yeah.
Like, if this is the worst thing in the world, then, like, right. you're going to be okay. It's like, yeah,
if you're already going to that, the grasping at straws is the exact right way to put it.
Yeah.
So where, Keith, does that fit in on an all-time coaching rant? Does it belong on the all-time coaching rant? Like, what would even be on there?
All-time coaching rants would be Jim Calhoun. Ripping everybody about Ryan Gomes.
Great one.
We talked to our buddy Tim Welsh about that because he was the coach in that game and found out about it later on.
I'm a man, I'm 40, Mike Gundy.
I'm a man, I'm 40. Denny Green, let him off the hook.
Great one.
Herm Edwards, played to win the game.
Patino,
not walking through that door. Jim Mora, playoffs.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Those are
all
really, really good. There's probably some more college basketball ones. I feel like those guys can usually get a little hot.
Don't shake your head. If you ask a question, I'm telling you how I feel about it. I took a Mecca Okafor and Caron Butler. They're not bad.
It's not really a rant as much as he threatened to kill John Calipari and like went out and tried to choke him.
Who did you say?
No, not Don Chaney. Lon Chaney, the actor.
Lon Chaney.
I think he was the Phantom of the Opera, I believe. Don Chaney, rest in peace.
Don Chaney.
Yeah, Don Chaney. Dude, Lon Chaney famous. Lon Chaney Jr. famous.
Lon Chaney?
Lon.
That's a person?
A person? He's a legendary actor.
Sounds like a piercing I don't want.
Well, like the late 1800s. He was a really good actor.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. I can see how you would confuse him with Don Chaney.
If you're not a cultured person, that's fine.
I mean,
you don't know who these people are.
Died almost 100 years ago, but...
Yeah, but how good was he then?
But like, just acting
his
ass off
in
the
sky. You ever heard of the Family Opera? The Hunchback of Notre Dame?
Oh, that's him? Costello?
Yeah.
Well, that's him.
And then his son, Lon Chaney Jr., also was an excellent actor.
What was he in?
Sound and stage. He was in Wolfman.
Not just the ultimate jock.
No. Heavens, no. He's in Son of Dracula. He's in The Ghost of Frankenstein. A lot of Universal horror films.
Okay. So does
Bill. He's long since dead as well.
Is that recency bias that I want to put it in the all time coaching
rant?
It's overreacting?
I think you are overreacting. I think it's very good. I think it's a good local one for some in a while. And then the What's Up Trevor kind of makes it for me. Like that part.
What's up, Trevor?
Trevor's like,
go already,
up,
Trevor.
Yeah, like, dude, I got nothing. Wait, why are they so bad though this year? I don't really follow BC football all that closely.
Well, I don't know. Well, let's try Danny up in Salem, New Hampshire. Maybe Danny has an answer. Hello, Danny.
How are you guys doing?
Doing great.
I'll start right up front. I did graduate from BC in '82. Well,
there you go.
Okay.
But what kind of aggravating is your comment about? If the only ones that care about BC are people that went to BC,
right?
So obviously, on the Flutie era, the whole Northeast was huge BC fans. Now the guy who answered my call,
were they BC fans or were they flute? Were they just liking the Flutie story?
Flutie fans.
If they were BC fans, they'd still be BC fans. That would have begat a bunch of fans.
I'm sorry. I'm not following.
Well, but you just called in to say that it's more than just BC alums that like BC, but you yourself are, in fact, a BC alum.
We're
going to need more proof of concept. Yeah.
No.
All right. I knew this would be a waste of time, but anyway.
I appreciate it. People like Flutie. Okay, they like Flutie. But did they continue to root for the team after Flutie?
No.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, Matt Ryan.
No one paid attention.
People love Matt Ryan.
No, they didn't. No.
I'm sure you and your BC friends did. That's fine.
That Matt Ryan team was famous for how little it was discussed here in the city of Boston while they were number two in the country.
Yeah, they beat Florida State, was it? And they were like, they shot up the standings.
Virginia Tech or something like that. Yeah, and so that team is famously referenced as why college sports don't matter in this city.
Right.
They were number two in the country. BC basketball was like number two or three shortly thereafter.
No, Flutie was obviously a sensation and won the Heisman, but he's also a Natick kid.
People were not BC fans. They were Flutie fans.
All right, I knew this would be a waste of time.
It was.
I mean, I thanks for at least admitting that you were a BC.
I was going to say,
if
you wanted your gotcha moment there, you would not say you were from BC, or perhaps you would say you actually went somewhere else, I went to BC and I am a BC fan doesn't really make your argument.
I'm telling you,
really made Keith's argument.
I haven't met one yet, and that's also an example of not meeting one.
And again, Flutie. If they were actual BC fans, the fans would have stayed. When Flutie left, they all left. They came back for Matt Ryan, which I know they. I lived through that. I know they did.
No. Okay. By the way, Bill O'Brien was at BC last year, and they went 7-6. Mm-hmm. And this year, they're 1-8. So, how are they so much worse this year?
Well, good question.
I heard they got a good recruiting class coming in. But
the man probably can't recruit, which is, at least he was smart enough not to run off all his players from the year before like Bill did.
Although
at least
he was smart enough, touchdowns, though.
He was smart enough to keep him around for 1 year there at BC.
But he ran off Tommy touchdowns.
He did run off Tommy touchdowns.
Yeah, but he's been done nothing outside of the first 3 weeks of this year.
No, it wasn't a bad call by him.
No, Tommy
touchdowns. Plus, he just quit in the middle of the season.
The next team for Tommy touchdowns, because he's probably got another year of eligibility the way it works in college now.
Yeah, he's going to be like that DJ Ogulele guy everybody?
Start him for 1 month. Yeah, he's good good in September. Then get him the hell out of
Real nice.
Yeah. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keith. We'll get you the grab bag and clip du jour. And on the way next, every Wednesday, you hear from Mike Vrabel. You'll hear from him live in Foxborough next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.